This is the evening audio of the seventh day of Christmas as we continue going through the historical accounts of the birth of Christ as found in the Gospels. And tonight we're picking up in Luke chapter 2. We've gone through a lot of preliminaries. Jesus still hasn't been born yet. We've got a lot of foundational material that the Gospel writers give us before we actually get to the birth of Christ. We've seen the amazing conception of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. We saw the even more amazing conception of Jesus with Mary. And now we're seeing how God orchestrates the empires to make sure that prophecy is fulfilled. So let's start reading in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there's a lot of talk among the historians, and also a lot of talk among skeptics about three words in this account. The first word is the word taxed. The second word is the word governor, and the third word is the word inn, or also manger. But where was the actual birth of Christ? Well, the first conflict, the first question that's asked is about this word taxed, and there's some historical question about whether there was actually a tax at the time Christ was born. And that's because Josephus, the Jewish historian, says some things that don't quite line up with what Luke says. And the first thing we should say is that Luke is just as reliable, if not more, a reliable historian than Josephus. And there shouldn't be a presumption, as there usually is among atheists, that you just can't trust Luke. You just can't trust it because it's in the Bible. As if everything that's in the Bible is biased and made up and just falsified, and these people are just bad people making things up because they're trying to foist their religion on us. But that's not the truth about Luke. As a historian, as a man who makes records based on eyewitness testimony, trying to set forth the details of the life of Christ very carefully, and more objective archaeologists and historians have said that Luke is very, very reliable. Still, we want to have a kind of a resolution about between Luke and Josephus, because Josephus is not a hick historian himself. So how does that work out? And without getting into all the details, it might be suggested, first of all, that the taxing in the King James Version is actually translated in some of the newer translations as a registration for a tax. It could also be that when you register, as is often the case today, when you have to fill out a form for the government, usually you have to attach a check to it, so you could call that a tax. Maybe they had to pay something, maybe they didn't. We don't know. We're not totally 100% sure what Josephus is saying, and we're not sure exact details that Luke is mentioning. But we do know that Luke is generally reliable, and so there ought to be some deference to Luke, and not to assume that what he's saying is wrong. Then there's the question of the timetable of the various governors of Syria. Now here we have Syria mentioned in the New Testament. We have Syria on the pages, at least as I'm recording this, on the pages of our newspaper with regarding the United States' attempt to overthrow the government of Syria and the United States' funding of terrorists to do that, just like the United States tried to overthrow the government of Iraq. So this is all very timely. But the question is, was Quirinius, governor of Syria, at the time that Jesus was born? There's one historical source that suggests that Luke was off by 10 or 12 years as to when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And some historians have said that Quirinius might have been governor twice, or that maybe the word governor, as it's translated in the KJV, is not the best way to translate that Greek word. There are historical documents that suggest that he was appointed to some other high-ranking position in Syria, but not technically the governor, at the time Jesus was born. As I say, the historians squabble about all the different words, and there's not a 100% resolution of all the questions that have been asked. But I think that the message is clear that something happened that called Mary and Joseph from Nazareth and sent them to Bethlehem. And it is totally within the power of God to do that. And the Bible is a very accurate account of God moving entire empires to serve his purpose, to enslave the Jews, to let the Jews go again, to help the Jews do this, to overcome all the different obstacles that might be set in the way of a fulfillment of prophecy. God is completely sovereign over Caesar Augustus. And so whatever the details historically were, it is not unreasonable and irrational to trust that Luke is giving us an historical account which deserves to be placed alongside and at the same par with Josephus or any other historian of the ancient world. Now there's the interesting question of exactly where Jesus was born, and what exactly is meant by a manger, and what exactly is meant by the inn, and what were the circumstances. There's early church fathers who say that Jesus was born in a cave near the inn. There's another account that suggests that just as Mary knew Elizabeth, and Mary had, and Joseph and Mary undoubtedly had other relatives in the, I mean, they're going to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. They were going to Bethlehem because that's where their family's roots are. And so it's very likely that Joseph and Mary knew family in Bethlehem, and it's quite possible that they stayed in the house of family there in Jerusalem, or rather in Bethlehem. There is historical evidence that suggests that, and that they were actually in a house. And so we've got two audios on our resource page that express these two competing historical theories about exactly the circumstances of Jesus' birth. I think they're very interesting. They're about an hour each, but I really think I enjoyed listening to them, and so I thought you might enjoy listening to them too. And that'll wrap up our evening audio. A bit short, so that maybe you might take some time to listen to those other audios. A pivotal account of Caesar Augustus playing his part dutifully, but not wittingly, in the fulfillment of the prophecy from Micah that said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem.